Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus. This is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what is to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. And Roger, we've got the privilege of not just focusing in on one sermon, but we're actually in the middle of a string of sermons that we'd like to talk about. Of course, we've got one more evening left in our special series with Brother Edwin Crozier. He's been talking to us about the idea of discipleship.
And what we want to talk about to begin with is this idea of preaching. The Bible is an old, old book, and we live in a very modern world today, and a lot of people are looking for something new and something fresh. And so why preach this old, old Bible today? One of the commands of the Lord to the apostles was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So that's where we want to begin today as we talk about this idea of listening to the Word of God being proclaimed.
We brought Edwin from a long ways away. He's down in the Tampa, Florida area. And so, okay, it's fall. It's a pretty time of year. It's a busy time of year. There are other things that Edwin could be doing. There are other things that you and I and our church family could be doing. And so why don't we just start by letting me ask you, why bring someone from a long ways away and devote the last couple of days to this idea of preaching?
Well, we do that because that's the Bible way. God could have chosen a million different ways of getting his message to us, but he chose preaching. And as ancient as we go back in the Bible, people like Noah, people like Moses, all through the prophets, the apostles, John the Baptist, even Jesus himself, they were all preachers. And so that's God's bridge of communication. It's how we know what he wants of us. It's how we get to meet him. It's through his word being proclaimed to us. The apostle said in the book of Romans in chapter 10, verse 13 and 14, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? So one of the reasons why we bring in a guest speaker is to bring us that message, the saving message of Jesus Christ, because that's the message that all generations from the first century through modern times that we need. Sometimes we think we've outgrown that. Sometimes we think we can take care of ourselves, but we cannot. And we need that message of Jesus Christ.
So when we use or God uses the word preaching, you've been preaching, Roger, for a long time. What is preaching?
Well, Paul would say in his letter to the Corinthians, he said that we persuade men. And what you're doing is you're presenting the facts of the Bible. You're not talking about yourself. You're not speculating. You're not presenting your own agenda. You're not telling an audience who to vote for. You're preaching what God has in his word. And what you're doing that is you're putting that before the people so they can look at that, so they can see that and believe that. And based upon that, it will persuade them to change their lives, to become disciples of Jesus, to be what God wants us to be. And so when we talk about preaching, it's not the same thing as a stand-up comic. It's not the same thing as watching a TV show. A lot of modern churches, that's what you get. But what we look at is what the Bible talked about, and that's preaching the Word of God. Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. And so we're talking about the Bible, getting the Bible open, reading the Bible in context, getting a background of that story, and then presenting that in an understandable way so we will appreciate those things.
One of the descriptions that has always helped me is this picture of a town crier from years and years ago, some sort of a herald, where it was not up to that herald, a messenger from the king, to invent his own message. You know, the herald wasn't expected by the king to reinvent the wheel or to, break ground as far as his own ideas was concerned. He had been given something of value by the king, and he was expected. I mean, we've seen in movies, TV shows, perhaps. He comes into the town square, right? And what does he say? As loud as he can, he says, "Hear ye, hear ye." And he delivers a message from the king. Well, that, as I understand it, that is the role of preaching from the standpoint of the Bible. You mentioned 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul in verse 20 says, "We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Or as you reference 2 Timothy 4, preach the word. We're not inventors. We're not innovators. We are to be stewards of the word of the king. And so even preaching, there's a difference in preaching and teaching. Roger, if I can put you on the spot one more time, I mean, you do a lot of teaching of Bible classes in individual studies. What is the difference, do you think, between teaching and this preaching?
Well, sometimes in teaching you have more interactions. Sometimes in teaching you're just going through a few verses and you got kind of a special agenda that you might have in mind as you think about, I just want to see this one text. I just want to explain this one text. We're going to look at the words. Preaching sometimes is harder than that because you've got a mixed audience. You got a large audience. You got people with all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of experiences. Some been around for a long time. Some are very new on the scene. But what you're doing is you're trying to get them to see Jesus. And Jesus is at the forefront. And through your words, you're trying to get them to see through the scriptures. This is what the Lord has come and done for you. This is what God expects of you. And I think those are some of the things that enable us to do that. Sometimes you have somebody in the audience who's just going to be there one time. And that's kind of a hard thing when you think, I got to get this message to this person. They may never come back again. But when they leave, you want them to be impressed not with you, not with the church building, but with Jesus. And so Jesus is always at the forefront when you're preaching.
Edwin has helped us, I believe, over the course of the last few days by drawing our attention to, okay, this is about more than an information dump. This is about more than, okay, I've got to memorize X, Y, and Z and keep it in my mind long enough for the test on Friday, and I pass the test and then I move along. Even what he has been talking about, discipleship, well, that is the goal of preaching, right? Our friend Dee Bowman, who we've talked about even just very recently, his passing would often remind preachers that the goal is to storm the will, right? And so the goal is to serve as this steward of a message and connect that message to human hearts so that men and women follow King Jesus.
In that parable of the sower, the soil that produced was represented as a good and honest heart. And so when a good and honest heart intersects with the Word of God, great things are going to take place. A person is going to be open to change. They're going to see how God sees them. They're going to see what's missing in their life. And so when that Word of God reaches that good and honest heart, great things can come about. But now, without that seed, without that Word of God, those changes won't come about. Without that good and honest heart, they're not going to come about. So it takes both of them to kind of create the great picture that God wants of us.
All right. So we've talked about 5/6 of this meeting is already done. If you have not been able to join us in person or been able to keep up online, we would certainly encourage you to go back. The top banner right at the forefront of our website, if you click that, you can see the previous 5 lessons in this great series, I'm a Disciple. That's where Edwin started first thing on Sunday morning. What it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And then he has walked us around this circle. Sunday morning in our typical Bible class period, a disciple honors God. From Sunday night, a disciple learns from God. Monday, a disciple loves like God. Last night, a disciple leads others to God. Lord willing, this evening at 7 o'clock p.m., we'll talk about how all of that happens while we are abiding in God's Word. Roger, as I have listened to this series and done my best to allow it to sink into my heart, one of the things that has stood out to me is how relevant this is for our 21st century American, at least, culture, where so much of the focus is on me and what I want and what I desire and how I expect things to be. Discipleship is inherently getting the focus off of me.
And what discipleship involves is imitating or being like someone else.
Yes.
So we could go back to that ancient times where you'd have somebody who's a sculptor and he had an apprentice, and that guy would learn to chisel the marble like his master was doing. And in time, he'd learn that trade, and then off he would go. Or it'd be a cabinet maker, and he'd have an apprentice learning how to make the cabinets, and he'd learn the tools of the trade. He'd learn how to do that. But in essence, what he's doing is he's being trained. He's been shown how to do this. We talk about discipleship, we quit looking in the mirror. It's not about me. It's not about my feelings, and this is my life. And we start looking at Jesus, and we start realizing I need to be like Jesus. He was perfect. He was sinless. He is God on earth. And so we start realizing I got to think like Jesus, and I've got to walk like Jesus, and I got to forgive like Jesus. And so the concept of discipleship is I want to be mentored. I want to apprentice under Jesus. And when someone does that, they become like Jesus.
Edwin has consistently begun each lesson in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, where Jesus himself says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher." And so in that respect, the focus is off of me. It is no longer about what I want. It is about being more and more like the teacher. So there's one dimension, but the other dimension, especially in light of what we talked about last night, it's not even just me and Jesus. It is focus on others as well, right? I think it's easy at times for us to get into our minds, okay, it's me and Jesus against the world, and as long as I'm right with Jesus, well, I don't really care what happens in the world. As long as I've got a relationship with Jesus, I'm not really concerned about the relationships of neighbors, people who don't know the Lord. After all, I'm right with the Lord, and that's all that matters. But built into the idea of being a disciple is leading others to God.
And we want to take us to a passage found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, where Jesus refers to discipleship several times. And it's just kind of opposite the way we'd think Jesus would talk. We would think Jesus would do anything he could to get a crowd, get as many people as possible. But when we read this passage, multiple times he'll describe a situation where he says, that person cannot be my disciple. And from that, there's some core principles that come out that ought to help us. Let's begin the sections. Luke chapter 14, begin verse 25. "Now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you,' he says, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he had laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king," he says in verse 31, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he's strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one who's coming against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. So in there, three times, Jesus talks about who cannot be my disciple. Now, he's not driving people away. He's not saying only the best of the best. But in this passage, he's trying to get us to understand some core principles. First of all, in being a disciple, there's a cost. That's why he says, sit down and calculate as the man who is building the tower. Or the king, before he goes to battle, he first sits down and considers. The idea is, becoming a disciple of Jesus, there is going to be a cost. I've got to think that out. I've got to realize that. Because otherwise, I'll start and then I will quit along those things.
That is at the very heart of self-denial, right? What is one of the costliest things I can do? It's deny myself. Say, I don't have all of the answers. I can't save myself. It is not all about me. There are people around me who are in need of the greatest news that I have found. And so I'm going to have to push out of my comfort zone. I'm going to have to deny myself. There is a cost to being a disciple. Now, the question is it worth it? And I think that's where you're driving us, Roger.
Absolutely. Then also, I think the second principle found in these verses here in Luke is the idea that there's consequences of being a disciple.
Yeah.
This is why he talks about being a disciple of Jesus must come before my family. It must come before myself. What I want to do, what my family wants to do. Being a disciple of Jesus means Jesus comes first. There's consequences to that. And again, the guy who can't do that, the guy who's going to follow the crown, the guy who wants to do what everyone else wants to do, is always going to shove Jesus to the end of the list. That person, Jesus says, really cannot be my disciple. You're not going to make it because you're always going to find a reason. You're always going to have an excuse. You're never going to make what Jesus wants you to make. Imagine this master, and he's hired this apprentice to help him, and he's going to train this apprentice how to sculpt. And first day, he doesn't show up. The second day, the apprentice doesn't show up. Well, before long, he's going to realize that this guy's not going to get it because he's spending all his time doing something else. There is a cost and there is a consequence in following Jesus.
You've got one more C word, I believe.
I do, and that's a commitment. And that's a commitment. That's driving through all this as well. The idea of putting Jesus first, being committed to what God wants us to do. And so, again, as he talks about this delegation, as war is taking place, he's talking about the man building the tower, there's a commitment to it. A guy can start the tower, but if he doesn't finish it, he didn't stay with the project. And so the idea is being committed, understanding that there's a consequence, understanding there's a cost, and following Jesus Christ. The rewards are awesome. The life is the best life you can ever have. The worth of it is very much the worth of it. But to understand, it's just not a matter of, well, I'll just go to church whenever I feel like it, and once in a while, I'll read a verse or two here and there. That's not discipleship. You're not going to learn like Jesus wants you to.
There are a lot of different ways that each one of us could answer and you fill in the blank. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm an employee. We go on and on and on. But I'd really encourage our listeners, maybe you're listening to this first thing Wednesday morning, whenever it is that you're walking through this little bit of content with us, I'd encourage you to really realize, no matter what you're able to say about yourself today, there is nothing more eternally significant than I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Just a couple more passages we'll put on this lesson here. At the end of Ephesians chapter 4, transitioning to chapter 5, he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Chapter 5, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, walk in love just as Christ also loved you. The idea of being a disciple is to follow and to be apprenticed and to do what Jesus does. And that's hard, but we can do that because the Bible says we can.
Lord willing, this evening at 7 o'clock p.m., we'll have one more lesson in this series, Abiding in God's Word. We would love to have you join us in person. Maybe you live a long ways away, but we would love for you to access this good content via charlestownroad.org or our sermon podcast feed. We have very much appreciated having Edwin here and his efforts. It has been good for me. Roger, I know it's been good for you, and we hope that this message comes through loud and clear. This is what life is to be all about. And so we appreciate those efforts and encourage you to make the most of this opportunity. That series is ending this evening, but Roger, in very many respects, we're already looking forward to Sunday. What do you have lined up for Sunday morning?
I'll be preaching Sunday morning, and we're going to go back to the book of Psalms, Psalms 32, where David tells a story, and it's about himself. It's a personal story. And we're going to title this sermon, A Soul Set Free. And David tells us about a tragic part of his life and how he found redemption and hope through Jesus Christ. And we hope you can come and be with us.
That is this Sunday, 9:30 a.m. At 5 o'clock p.m., it is a fifth Sunday of the month, and so we typically have a song service. We're looking forward to doing a lot of singing Sunday night, 5 o'clock p.m. We're actually going to bounce off of this special series from the first part of the week, and we're going to sing songs of discipleship. We're going to focus in on songs that disciples sing. It will be a good hour that propels us and encourages us as we begin this new week. Lots of things to look forward to, lots of things to be thankful for this week. Roger, I'm thankful that you were able to join me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We'd love to see you tonight as we finish this series strong. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week. We would love to have you come and grow with us.